This podcast contains explicit content and is not suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to Always the Last to Know. I'm Ash.
I'm Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Hi, listeners. Oh, that was not planned.
Nope, that was weird. Okay.
Before we get started today with our topic, I just do want to say so sorry that we had to miss last week, and thank you for your patience. I really needed some alone time after losing Chalupa. Thank you so much to everyone who reached out to me on social media. I'm sorry if I didn't directly respond if you left a comment on my post about him. I do not have the mental capacity for a lot of socialization right now.
Yeah, I'm not ignoring you. I'm just overwhelmed.
It's yeah,
definitely a mood.
Yeah. Not ignoring you, just very overwhelmed. Thank you so much to everyone who said something after I posted about him. I really miss him. It's been a week now. I realized before we started recording that I miss him being on the bed while we're recording and just snoozing in the background. But, you know, he's a lot better off now. He had gone back into heart failure and it wasn't good. It was a really hard decision to make, but he is not suffering anymore. And we're going to miss him forever.
Forever. We just spent 30 minutes talking about him in our chat. We're actively trying to keep it shorter.
Yeah. Trying so hard to keep it shorter. But yeah, so thank you for your patience and everything. And thank you for your kindness. It really means a lot to me. You guys are amazing and so special and make us feel so special. So thank you for that.
Yeah, seriously.
Do you have any updates or anything?
No.
How's school?
Busy. Okay, updates. This really kind person that you might know just helped me figure out how to mod Stardew Valley.
Oh, yay!
Yeah, yeah, you might know them. You might be married to them. So I now have 45 mods on Stardew. I have a whole weed farm and it's going great. So
nice. That's awesome. That's so funny. I was thinking of downloading the base mental mod for The Sims because you can smoke weed.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. You should. Should do that.
I think I will. Anyway, I mean, I don't really have any updates.
No, that's all I got.
Yeah. We can just get into it. Listeners, this week I am going to redo one of our old episodes that we no longer have up due to the shitty audio quality when we first started. This week, I want to talk about the societal pressure to have our shit together by a certain age. This topic is always in the back of my mind, but if we're being honest, the past few years and the past couple weeks have really had it be on the forefront of my mind. What does it even look like to effectively have your shit together? How can you get to that point when we're living in a society that has made it increasingly more difficult to reach the financial goalposts that past generations set up? And how do you fulfill the expectations that past generations have created for us to reach those goals by a certain point in our lives? Why do we follow these hard-to-attain expectations to the detriment of our own mental and physical well-beings?
Damn.
For me, besides COVID, the past few years have been increasingly more difficult because of an injury that forced me to step away from an 8-year career that had afforded me a pretty good amount of financial stability. Wasn't perfect, but it was workable.
Mm-hmm.
It has been hard to take that hit to lose all of my savings, and I mean all, to medical bills and to have to take jobs that aren't providing me even half of what I used to make, even though I absolutely love my job right now. I love working at the funeral home, but there is a difference in the life that I had before and the life that I have now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been stressful and has affected my mental and physical well-being. And thank God for my therapist. She is worth every penny that I pay her because it has been rough and she has kept me sane for the most part through it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are so many of us that are experiencing different versions of the same kind of story, and not being able to stay financially safe enough to take a breath before the next hit comes. It's one unfortunate event after another, and it can feel even more difficult when outside sources are creating the expectation that we should be financially stable by now, have a home we've bought by now, and have a family by now. All I want to do is break free from the expectations of others and follow my own path, but societal issues make it difficult to achieve. Now that I've like word vomited out my existential crisis, let's unpack this shit.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I definitely would love to hear from all of you listeners what your responses are to the following questions that I'm about to ask Katie. Your perspectives are really important to us, and I think seeing the breakdown of like gender, age, and all that stuff of our listeners, I think it would be really interesting to hear your thoughts on these topics. So, you know, let us know in like our social media comments. I'm definitely going to make a little graphic for Instagram, probably make a video for TikTok, but I want to hear your opinions. All right, Katie, are you ready?
All right. Yep, I'm ready. Oh God, I'm ready.
When you were younger, what was the example of having your shit together that you were given?
For like adults?
Yeah.
Jessica Simpson. If you like really think about that though, like her and her husband were the first couple really on TV that was offered as like the opposite of the Aussies, like of the Osbournes, which was supposed to be like the bad family.
Yeah, yeah.
And we followed their entire life of their very young love.
Yeah.
Marriage, working through it, decorating their houses. And we were told like, this is the ideal body. This is the ideal man. This is what your house should fucking look like. And then she gained maybe 10 pounds. And we were told she's fat. She lost it. She, everything's ruined now.
The fucking 90s or the 2000s.
Ugh. It's a wild fucking time.
For body image? Yeah. For a lot of things.
It was a wild fucking time.
Jesus Christ. I find it so interesting that you pulled from a, like a public figure kind of thing. Whereas I answered these questions. I wrote it down last night when I was kind of going through everything. For me, it was like pretty basic from my parents and from people in my family. Go to college, find a good job, have a family. Although in answering this, I was like, but the way that my childhood actually played out, I experienced a lot of trauma, especially at my first boarding school. And I think the fact that I had to go to these schools infantilized me in my parents' minds. And I think that really affected how they like, quote unquote, prepared me for the world. I think they expected me to need them for longer than I have. And I think that expectation kept them from preparing me in like financial literacy and explaining basic things that I would have to go through in adulthood, what to truly expect from working and trying to find jobs. Because our schools didn't let us work as teens, or like how to find housing and shit like that. And I think it's interesting to list all those things like financial and housing, because my mom's a realtor, my dad was in finances. And because of all of that, I have found myself having to struggle through finding out some of these basic things. And I know a lot of us have. It makes me feel like I'm behind some of my peers.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, this is definitely a different conversation for me than it is for a lot of other people. My parents were too busy. They had a kid who needed 12 parents. And my shit in comparison was unimportant. So I didn't have, like when I went home from boarding school, which 7-day student versus 5-day student, I didn't have You were 7-day, weren't you 5-day the first year?
Nope. 7-day all the
interesting.
Time.
Interesting.
Because I had already been to boarding school for 4 years. And even though I was only a half hour from home at this one, Terry was like, I thought you just liked the boarding experience. I was like, not once did you ever fucking ask me that question, but okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even like, I mean, there was one week, an open weekend where I went to your house, you know, mm-hmm. like I didn't have anywhere to go really during that time. So I didn't have parents.
Yeah.
To like show me
in those formative
shit.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. I had expectations of like get good grades, but like as for what was coming next, it was like, oh, I'll figure that out.
Yeah,
I'll figure it out when I get to it. Sorry, mom. Fuck, she doesn't listen anyway. Sorry, she knows. It's sorry.
She knows. Like we've had these conversations at this point. Were you like given any tools and knowledge to like get yourself to this point? No. Because I know for like high school, we very much had the same upbringing and everything, or same experience where it was like a school that was supposed to, quote unquote, supposed to prepare you for like your next stage of life. But if we're being honest, like school was fucking easy there. And like what we learned how to clean, which like I already knew from my first boarding school, because we had to do all the chores, all of the cooking, all of the cleaning, everything. And like learned how to make checklists and shit like that. So and do my laundry. Like I already knew how to do that because another school taught me.
Yeah. Well, they didn't teach us how to do our laundry.
No, they did not. They were just like and they put didn't quarters in the machines in the basement. There you go.
They didn't even like, I don't even think they told us that. Like they didn't teach us how to clean. They just expected us to have this stuff cleaned
every morning for check-in.
No tools. None at all.
No tools. I think the only stuff that I got the tools on was housework from my first boarding school, but not like how do I balance my fucking checkbook, like
no none of that
bank account. Yeah, so
absolutely none of that. It was all trial and error. And then when I moved out of my college dorm between my freshman and sophomore year, mm-hmm. I needed to like learn how to live in a house. That was not something that I like knew how to do. I didn't know how to like live in a place consistently. That was like not something that happened in my childhood, like staying in one home for multiple years.
Yeah, fact.
So like having consistency like that was difficult for me. Like there would be times where I would go to high school, like leave the summer, and we'd be living in one house, and I would come back for Thanksgiving break and my mom would be in a new house.
Damn.
And then I come back for like summer and we're in a new place.
That lack of consistency as a child, teenager, that, I mean, that really.
No tools, really no consistency.
Yeah, it's fucking traumatizing.
First, second, and third were all in different school districts and kindergarten. God, and first, damn. Second, third, and fourth were all in different school buildings. So even when I was in the same district, fourth grade, we went to a different school. And then fifth grade, we went to a different school. So like,
oh my God.
Literally, like I always like, I joke about my lack of consistency and stuff. But like when I say I never had any, I truly mean zero.
Mm-hmm.
So no tools, no knowledge, because anything that I did learn wasn't fucking applicable to my next living situation. Nothing ever rolled over. Starting over every time.
God damn.
Yeah.
Were you able when you were like younger, like teenager or anything like that, especially at that time, because we were being asked to pick colleges and pick career paths, were you able to imagine what your life would be like in your 20s and 30s? Did you have a picture of that, of what you wanted?
I thought I was going to kill myself before then.
Yeah. I mean, that really leans into my fucking answer, because this is a question that my therapist asked me during one of our like first sessions together a couple years ago. And I was like really questioning like my career and everything and my life. COVID did that to me. So she asked me that. And I was like, I think I would have scared her a little bit, because immediately I was like, I honestly didn't even think I'd make it past my early 20s. I had no idea what I wanted my life to look like. But I had like family and teachers telling me it should be go to college, find a man, get married, have kids. But I never pictured that. Whether it was because I just couldn't picture it, or subconsciously I knew that that wasn't the path that I wanted out of life. No ideas ever took root in my brain. I switched majors in college so many times because like I did not know what the fuck I wanted to do with my life. And I don't think I have at all, even going through 8 years of being a hairstylist and going to school for that. I don't think that's what I really wanted for my life. And I'm kind of just now starting to like put the fucking pieces together of what I want my life to look like. But I think I scared the shit out of my therapist when I said that, because she was like, oh my God. I was like, yes, ma'am. I had a lot of suicidal tendencies when I was younger. Did not think I would make it out of the depression, and still haven't. I just manage it better.
As I am medicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like, I mean, I've known from a pretty early age, actually, that I couldn't have kids. Didn't want them anyway.
Like, I literally hated children. Kalpana, like a family friend, tells this joke about when I was in eighth grade and she asked me what I would do if I accidentally had a baby, and I literally said I would kill it. So like, this is not new. As like a fucked up little sociopath, I was like, I'm gonna kill it. Like, I'm done. No, thank you. So like the concept of a future was just the idea of like dealing with this forever. You know, like dealing with trying, like starting over and learning something new and starting over and getting used to it and then starting over. I was just like, fuck, no thanks. Not gonna do that.
I think back to like when we were in Purnell too, and I definitely had these thoughts when I was at my first boarding school. I like sent away to that place when I was 11, and I was there for 4 years. And I think the entire time that I was there, I couldn't imagine escaping. I just thought I was going to be there forever. And my brain could just not fathom anything past being stuck in that place. Same thing when we went to Purnell. Like, I knew that I would eventually graduate. But when you're like living through that traumatic experience, it doesn't ever feel like it's going to end. I felt trapped in those places.
Yeah, I mean, trapped in those places and trapped at home. Quite honestly, I mean, part of the reason that I was sent away is because home was not better. Home was much worse and would have been much more damaging to me to be in that all the time. So when I left the trap of Purnell, it's not like I was free or happy or, you know, in an environment where I was like doing good shit. For me, I was like, so this is just forever. Like, I don't have a consistent home. I don't have a consistent family, barely have parents, I barely have siblings. Like, I go to school, it sucks, I come home, it sucks. It wasn't really until I went to college where I was like, oh, I come here and it's dope.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that like I had my world and it was good.
Mm-hmm. I left Purnell and I could not handle my first semester away at college, and I came back home and I went to community college, but I was living with people who I hadn't consistently lived with in 7 years. And my parents love me. I love them. But I don't think that they like truly know who I am. And they definitely didn't back then. They don't know me, but they love me. But it was weird living with them after that. And I very much found different ways, and I definitely had some codependency on people that I had dated because I used them as an escape to get out of the house because I was uncomfortable, especially those first few years back. It was strange living with them.
Yeah.
It was weird, you know? It that whole experience of going through those 7 years away and not living with them, it made the environment of going back uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I was home for a month the summer after we graduated high school and then doing whatever. And then I went to college.
Yeah.
And then I never went home again.
Sometimes I think maybe it might have been a little different if I had chosen a different college, because I ended up going to Wagner on Staten Island, and they were the last ones out of the schools that accepted me to accept me. But the first one that accepted me was Lynn down in Boca, which is hilarious because that's where my brother now lives. And my friend Kelsey from my first boarding school, she went there. We would have gone to school together. And I found out that I was accepted. They told me when I was taking my tour there. And I actually cried. But I think I was so enchanted by New York City, fucking Staten Island. I rescinded my acceptance there. Like, I had told them that I want to go, and then I said no. And sometimes I'm like, damn, maybe it would have been different if I went down there. They definitely had more support for students with ADD, which I think probably would have helped me better. But, you know, I can't go back and change that.
Yeah, it is what it is. Like, you're here now and it's pretty solid gig, solid life you got going with right? your husband. So
that kind of leads into my next question, which I guess we can talk about it a little bit, but I think it'll be better to hear some of the responses from our listeners. So if you could envision when you were younger what you wanted your life to look like, are you currently living that idea in real life, or is it different than you expected? I couldn't really, so I don't really have much to say on that, but like, I didn't know what to expect from life, but I'm definitely living one that like, it's hard. But I'm okay with this because I have an idea now of what I want for my future.
No, I don't think at any point in my life did I expect to be living this life that I'm living right now. A child? No. No.
Married?
Married? No. In central Pennsylvania, literally
never, ever in my life did I see myself here. Back in school? I mean, even if I went back to, like, you know, 19-year-old Katie and I was like, hey, guess what? Like, married, okay. Central PA, that, no, what?
What?
But back to school? Really? Like, you're not doing the whole baking thing? And it's like, oh, I did that over it. Like, yeah. I was really so sure that that was going to be the rest of my life. I mean, until I destroyed my hands and needed surgery and then the whole medical industry shut down and I couldn't get physical therapy. But
yep. Wow.
But this is dope too. I'm really stoked with the path that I'm on. This makes more sense. Yeah. I think to a degree, this was the path that I have wanted but didn't think was obtainable because it felt like something so out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
Two dogs and two cats. That's spot on.
You're like, that's accurate though.
That's pretty accurate. Glued to my vape for sure.
Facts.
Definitely. Medicated? No way. That's meds were not ever something I saw in my future. And I love my meds.
Back in therapy, back in talk therapy for me, I was against it for so long because of the trauma that I experienced with talk therapy mm-hmm. when I was younger in those schools. And even before that in elementary school. But like, me being able to choose who I speak with, that made an incredible difference. And I am so glad that I chose to go through that because working on yourself is pretty awesome.
It's pretty fucking sweet.
Pretty fucking great.
Stoked. Pretty yeah. stoked. I definitely think that I'm at a point in my life where if I had had me now in my life, things would have been different.
Yeah. It's so cliche to be like, be the person that your younger that self needed. Yeah. But like, it's fucking true.
Yeah. I think for so long I was like leaned away from cliches. Like mm-hmm. that's always been my thing is like, I'm the, you know, the different girl who doesn't cliche, who's not cliche at all, which within itself is its own cliche, which I fucking love.
And like, I used to be that too.
Right. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was such just a fucking like, pick me.
Oh my God, it hurts. It hurts to have healed that pick me part in me. It's so right? lovely.
It's nice being a girl's girl now.
Yeah, I'm so fucking here for the girlies,
you know?
Here for it. Here for girls' rights and wrongs. You know?
It feels good to have healed that fucking ignorant shit, you know?
Yeah. Which I know your next question because you texted it to me.
Yes.
And that's my answer right there.
At this point in your life, what does having your shit together look like for you?
Healing that shit.
Healing
that's,
that shit.
That's what it looks like. And full stop, I don't think that's what I said when we first did this episode. I'd love to find that audio and know what I said.
I think that this time around, with the fact that we both added more steady therapy in our lives and mm-hmm. we have more discussions like this on a regular basis with one another and the people in our lives, I think that this has become a much more introspective recording this second time around. And honestly, I'm really glad that we're having this
episode again. It's interesting because I think one of the things I was going to say is like we call each other out, but it's we call each other in.
Yes.
So much more.
I'm so glad to use that phrasing. I think it's important to know the difference.
Yeah. You know, like there's been so many times, I think in the past year, year and a half, where we've held each other accountable to the point where now it's a habit that we hold ourselves accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So like sometimes when you're texting me, you'll be like kind of like going through your thing. And then your next one will be like, and I know accountability, accountability, accountability. It just makes me feel like retrospectiveness, thoughtful consideration, comment. And it's, you know, our discussions, you know, 2 years ago, even with each other, were not like that. Like we would just be all reaction, all emotion, and then would eventually even just like venting about our lives. And then eventually we would get to the point where we're like, oh, and some accountability. Like, oh, I should be accountable too. Yeah. And now like I know that because of the accountability that you hold me to, it's like I hold myself to that even when you're not around.
Yeah.
And that is like such an important difference in like what I've allowed my friendships to be in my life.
Yes. Yes. And just not even just friendships, but like all relationships.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. That's what having your shit together is.
Nice. Damn it, Katie. I want to read, like, I love that entire train of thought. I want to read, like, what I wrote down for mine.
Oh, yes, please.
Because
yes,
I didn't even think about everything that you just said, but it's rings so true. But then there's also this, like, I don't think that I have things fully together, but I'm trying to not let the societal pressure get to me, which can be very difficult because we've all lived within that for so long. Shit happened, unavoidable shit, an accident, and it put my progress on pause for a while. And I'm hoping within the next year, I can plan and execute my idea of what I want for my real life, which is something that you and I have been talking about a lot recently, and me and Dan also. Recently, I've realized that what I really want out of life is to have quiet adventures in nature with my partner and whatever pets we have. I want to travel. I want to see the beauty all around our country and others. I don't want to be planted in one place for several decades. I want to be traveling from national park to national park, not having the same job for like more than a season. And after I've done all that, I want a quiet cabin in the woods by the water near my best fucking friend here with the love of my life, gardening and thrifting and selling goods at farmers markets. Just want an easy, beautiful life with adventure and love and nature. And I really don't think that that's too much to ask for. So I think over the next year, that's what I'm going to focus on, because that will be that's my picture of having my life together.
I'm glad that I waited to the end of your thought, because I wanted to ask, like, in what way do you not think you have your shit together? You know, like, yeah, you're not living that life, but I guess, yeah. Like, you know, in terms of even societal standards, you're employed.
I am.
You have a house. You can feed yourselves. Dan is employed. I mean, I think so many times we look at what other people have.
Yeah. Or what we're being told we should have.
Yeah. Or how other people frame mm-hmm. what they have. And we're like, oh, that's the standard.
Well, I think a little bit of what I'm feeling right now is that financial instability after being told for so long that like having it together is like having financial stability and having a savings. But like, it sucks when you're living in a world, in a society where one fucking accident can wipe your savings out. I had gotten myself a financial advisor and I had a savings that I was building up over a few years, and literally all of it went to paying for my ankle surgery and my recovery, and then having to spend money on all of Chalupa's shit, like his medicine and everything. It like kind of brings it back, and that's one of those places where, because of society telling me that like I should be financially stable in my fucking 30s, that I feel like I'm behind some of our peers, you know? I think that's the part of it, but that also is leaning into that societal pressure of like, you're in your fucking 30s, you should have this. Yeah, well, life's really hard for everybody and everything's really mm-hmm. fucking expensive, and that one thing wiped me out. I was being financially responsible and it still fucking happened.
Yeah. And the fact is, you don't know what's going on in the background of their lives. I know a lot of people who present themselves as financially stable who are not. So
I think that really leads into my last question here for everyone. Is there even such a thing as having your shit together? Is there even? Or is it just this societal notion? Or is it just super fucking individualized? Because I think there can be the idea of it, but I think we should look at it much more individualized. Everyone should be able to craft an idea of their life that brings them the most joy and comfort without expectations of others to live by. We should be able to set our own goals of what our lives should look like without fear of judgment of those around us. Because we're not doing what everyone else is doing, or we're not on the same timetable as everyone else.
Yes and no. I think that it is individualized to a degree. I think we can all agree that part of the discussion that we're having is morality. Having your shit together should include not murdering people, not raping people, not being a Nazi, not being anti-Semitic, or like not being racist. Like those, when we talk about ideals for what a life should look like, it needs to like include, it needs compassion to include morality and compassion for others. Yeah. And if we say that it's all completely individualized, then we let people who are like really successful neo-Nazis be like, I've got my shit together. No, you don't, bro. You don't at all. I don't care what any part of your life looks like. I promise you,
you don't have it together.
I'm actually so glad that you brought that up, because I didn't even think about it in that aspect. And I think that that is really important to acknowledge.
And that's, I think that's where people lose this concept of having everything together, is we decide what it looks like, but not what it acts like. And that's so much more important. I don't give a shit what you look like. That doesn't matter to me at all. If you're a 50-year-old man who wants to wear band t-shirts and cargo shorts, by all means, do your fucking thing. You still can have your shit together if you're like moving through the world as a good person with intention. And sure, we can lightly, I say lightly, disagree on what it means to be a good person, but there's not a lot of room for disagreement there. I'm honestly trying to think of an example.
Right, like having respect for others, even though they're not exactly like you.
Yeah, like I can't even think of like an example that's like room hunting, I guess, is one. That's a room where people can kind of, a gray area, like, oh, I'm hunting for food. Okay, like you're not a bad person. You know, some opinion comes in there. But like, we focus too much on like, I have a house, I have this. It's like, you know, can you close your eyes at night and not feel like shit about what you said to someone that day? Mm. Do you regret any of your actions today or any of your not actions? I think that is way more important, whether or not I live paycheck to paycheck.
I agree with you. Thank you for that answer.
Hell yeah, dude. You told me to think about it. So I really did.
I did. I sent you these last night. I was like, please ponder upon these until tomorrow. I can't wait to read everyone's responses. So
me too.
Some social media posts so you all can. I don't know. You can DM us too if you want. Whatever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I do want to talk about an example in the media of pressures to have your shit together, or infantilizing the experiences that many people in Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z are currently experiencing. Before I give you the example, I do want to give the generation breakdown. So baby boomers are 1946 to 1964, Gen X is 1965 to 1980, millennials 1981 to 1996, we're kind of like in the middle of that, and Gen Z after 1996. And then you've got Gen Alpha, which is the little babies right now, like my nephew. So just a little bit of a breakdown there so we can remind everyone like who's in what groups.
Mm-hmm.
This article that I found is from CNBC. And it's titled, Here's Why Millions of Millennials Are Not Homeowners. I've seen so many articles like this, or how millennials are destroying Applebee's. Shit.
It's because of my avocado toast. I know.
It's my coffee that you insist if I don't buy would make a financial difference for me, but whatever.
Oh, but if I don't go, I'm destroying Starbucks. Like...
So this article gives an overview into different reasons why we aren't buying homes, but lacks going in depth into why those reasons are actually happening.
Of course.
Of course. The first point that they bring up is a delay in marriage. They say that marriage increases the likelihood of owning a home by 18%. They state that in 1960, the average age at which women and men first married was in their early 20s, that MRS degree, whereas today it is closer to 30. And we are also three times as likely to never have married as members of the silent generation, which is people in their 70s and 80s. Sorry, I forgot to add that to the breakdown. What they fail to mention, though, is why we aren't rushing into marriage anymore. If you look back in time to how the world was set up for those generations, there was more of a dependence on men for women, because women didn't get the right to open a bank account until the 1960s. In 1974, the Equality Credit Opportunity Act was passed, which was supposed to prohibit credit discrimination on the basis of gender. That means before that was passed, many women were denied loans for homes or businesses just based upon the fact that they were a woman or needed a co-signer who was a man to be able to attain a loan. That's one thing.
Like, this is not correlated. This is the same exact logic as being like, well, statistically speaking, astronauts all drink Tang. So if I drink Tang, I am an astronaut. Like, no, this doesn't. No.
Fuck.
Women in the 1970s began to focus more on higher education, and that has resulted in millennials now putting a huge emphasis on our education and our careers. Part of that being because the expectation to go to college was put on us by older members of our family.
Yeah.
Because they were able to, so there was a big push for it. Women are more focused on their career than finding a man.
You told us to be.
You did this. It's like when they get mad at us for like wanting participation trophies, and I'm like, who bought those trophies to give to us?
It's like, you I'm did. Sorry, I was the 6-year-old. Do you think I had anything to do with that decision?
I didn't make that choice. They also cite that young people are in no rush to have kids. And you know what? They're fucking right. The share of married households aged 18 to 34 with children dropped to 25% in 2015 from 37% in 1990. Having a child increases a person's chance of owning a house by 6 percentage points. What they fail to go into is why we're having less children. So they keep bringing up like these statistics and all these different points, but don't go into like the actual shit behind it.
I just need to pause for a second. And I just need to point out that this use of saying that having a child is more likely to make you buy a house is factually in fucking correct. Do you know how expensive children are?
Especially now. I feel like because of some societal pressures of like what it means to like have it together back in the day, especially when it was easier to afford a house, it was get married, buy a house, have a kid. So it's just like it was part of the notion that this is the steps you have to take to move your life along. So there was this pressure to do that.
If Mike and I didn't have Gabe, we could have easily purchased a house.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Incorrect.
There's the accumulation of student debt and other debt that has become a huge factor into a lot why a lot of us are not having kids. The lack of being able to afford a home is another factor because of everything else and how high prices have gotten and wages have not risen at the same rate as inflation. There's also environmental factors. A portion of millennials are choosing to not have children because of the state of our planet. We see that no change is actually being made into our impact on this planet. So why would we want to bring in a child into a world that we are destroying?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many reasons. Another one, some people have realized that they just don't want to be parents. Newsflash. It's not for everyone. The notion of needing to have a child to feel complete is one that is pushed on us by society. And we are more than capable of having fulfilling lives for ourselves without needing to have children. It's like fine if you want them, but if you can't provide for yourself or you aren't in the mental capacity to have a child, why bring one into the world? People can have families and be guardians and leaders to so many without the need to have a child. If it's not an enthusiastic yes, then it's a hell no.
The worst reason in the entire world to have a child is because I'm pregnant. That's the worst reason you could possibly have a child.
Yeah.
The worst.
It's like, I feel like I shouldn't have kids until I can do more for myself than the bare minimum of feeding myself, working, and having a roof over my head. That really is like the bare minimum for life. Like, if that's where I'm at, I don't think that I should bring someone else into this world. I'm like just barely taking care of myself. And if we're being honest, I am a bit selfish. I'm pretty selfless with how I like to help other people, but I'm selfish in my time is my time, and I find it precious, and I'm so willing to do it for an animal, but I don't have the capacity to do that for a human child. I just don't, and yeah. I never have.
I think far too often people are like, I can't take care of myself, so I shouldn't have a kid. Okay, definitely. Great reason. But also, even if you could take care of yourself and you're super financially stable and everything is perfect and it's the perfect moment to have children and you don't want one, who fucking cares? Yeah. I don't think that's selfish. I think bringing another life into this world so that you can have a nice little accessory that loves you is the most selfish thing that you could possibly do. If you want to raise a person and commit to like loving and enriching and supporting this life that you made, by all means, you have your kid. But if you just like want something that loves you, get a fucking puppy. And if you can't handle that, get a goddamn cat. It is so weird that women can't just be like, I don't want kids. And if they say that, they immediately have to like preface it or follow it up with, I'm selfish. I know. That's not selfish. I don't see what's selfish about that.
You know what? You're right. You're right. And that's like self-hurting talk.
Yeah.
For me to have just said that. Like, I just don't want kids. And I've never felt the pull to like be pregnant. Just don't want it.
There is something so beautiful and empowering in knowing yourself enough to being like, you know what? No, I don't want that.
If it's not an enthusiastic yes, it's a hell no. Can't remember what TikToker I heard that from. That video is buried deep within my likes on TikTok. But when she said that, man, it clicked for me. I was like, damn. No, I'm good, actually. Like, I don't want it.
Yeah, no. And there is not, it's not even just like, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's an amazing choice. Hell yeah, fucking do your thing. Or, crazy concept, do nothing.
Do nothing.
Do whatever. We weren't put on this fucking earth to crank out babies and exist in capitalism. Like, yeah, go do whatever.
Do whatever.
What could possibly be selfish about that?
You're just living your life for you.
Yeah.
The last point of this article is that millennials are also renting for longer in areas that tend to be pricey, making it harder for us to save up for a down payment on a house. Nearly half of households headed by people 19 to 34 are rent burdened, which means 30% of their paycheck goes to their landlord. What they fail to mention, though, is that the areas that people are renting in are more pricey because of the demand to live in close proximity to jobs, which tends to be in or around cities. Higher demand equals higher rent. We also aren't even getting into the fact that our pay has not increased, like I said earlier, at the same rate as inflation. So even though expenses are becoming higher, our pay cannot match it. Thus, we struggle to save. Many people are living the roommate life because you can't make it on your own. And while we're on the topic of saving, how many of you were told that you need to save and budget in order to afford life, but weren't ever shown how to balance your bank accounts, or that you should have two separate accounts for checking and saving? How many were taught how to actually achieve a good credit score, which, by the way, fuck a credit score. I think that whole system is so dumb.
It's bullshit.
How many of you were actually taught about financial literacy? Because there wasn't enough of that in school, which I really think it should be in our elementary and our middle and our high schools.
Absolutely. I just don't understand why all the hate is like at us for having to live in the city to like work, to like, you know, get to work, and not like at the landlords for charging a crazy high amount. Like, how is that our fault?
It makes me so disappointed when people like simp for landlords.
Right? Also, they told me to get my gay liberal ass out of their country. So I did. I went to the city and now I have to pay more because I'm doing what they told me to do. So I went to the city. Here I am. Did what you want and now I have to pay more? Fuck you. That's not fair. Just don't want to have to, like, I don't know, get shot because I'm wearing the wrong president's shirt up in rural Maine. Like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, I'm in an area where, like, my rent should be much cheaper than it is, but because of the surrounding areas being built up, everything is going up because more people want to live here, even though our town is still fucking lacking.
Yeah.
So that's fun. I had a really hard time saving and budgeting because no one taught me how. Even with family members who, like I said, work in finances and banking. I didn't get a financial planner up until a few years ago. He helped me get out of debt by actually making like a month-to-month plan of exactly what to do. And even then, my accident wiped all of that hard work out. All of this has definitely had an effect on our mental state as a generation. That is undeniable. The amount of stress that we experience as a generation is enough to make anyone have a fucking breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we do better than past generations is actually talk about our mental health. Like, thank God we are much more verbal about this because it has made us feel as though we have community, especially through places like TikTok, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Generations past have been like so hush-hush about their mental health due to harmful social stigmas of needing to seem like they have it all together. And we've recently seen that holding on to how you are feeling and not discussing mental health has led to older generations to have a skewed view of how the world works for others. Mm-hmm. If anything, with the rise in videos showing baby boomers freaking out in the middle of public over shit that is definitely inconsequential most of the time, or them being violently racist and homophobic, it is clear that their notion of having their shit together is a lie that they tell themselves. We don't have to have our shit together. We all deal with life hiccups all the time. If you try to force your idea of what it means onto someone else, you are lying to yourself and them. We need to stop putting so much pressure onto what we think life should look like for everyone. Your idea for your life should be one that makes you happy and fulfilled. And as Katie brought up earlier, I'm going to add this into my notes, but has you being a kind and compassionate member of society.
Yes.
I want to end our discussion with an article from Courage Compass Therapy. They posted an article entitled Four Reasons Why You Don't Have to Have Your Shit Together. And it's got some pretty good insights.
Hell yeah.
So number one, comparison. Everyone else has their shit together except you. Comparison is a normal thought process and one that we need for survival. However, when used in this way, to compare ourselves to others and immediately categorize them as having their shit together and you as not, leaves you feeling defeated. This is a story. It is what you see on the outside, the image that the person is projecting. Does this mean that that image is their reality? Could be, but maybe not. How do you benefit from always putting yourself in the one down position? It's not fun to feel that way. Perhaps the person believes the same thing, that you have your shit together and they do not. It's all about perspective, experience, and what your values are.
Mm. That is like so fucking relatable because I like don't put a lot of effort into my aesthetic. I don't know how to, never really cared to. I'm very insecure about it, but not a lot of people know that. And I have been told a lot of times that people just think like, I'm so evolved because like I don't partake in these like caring about my aesthetic. Like I have it together because I'm just like doing whatever I want. And I think that they have it together because they know how to do their makeup. They know how to do their hair. Like they know how to put on an outfit. And it's literally that same concept. Someone looks at me and is like, oh, Katie has it together because they just don't give a shit about what they think, what others think. And I'm looking at other people being like, they've got it together because they know how to make themselves look and feel like their best self.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we both have it together because we're doing our things.
Number two, milestones. You aren't where you want to be in your life. There are a lot of cultural benchmarks that can be tied to age or certain milestones such as graduating college, getting married, having children, etc. When you feel like you are behind, it can lead to those negative feelings. However, you are not in a race with anyone. Your life is your own journey. You may have your own reasons for going at a different pace than others. Tragedies happen. Mistakes happen. Life hands out lessons whether we are ready for it or not. God damn, that is so true. And at different times for different people. Your opinion of your station in life is the only one that matters. You really do not owe anyone an explanation unless you're being a fucking ignorant bigot. You seriously do not have to defend, justify, or explain yourself to people who have not earned the right to know you. I mean that in how you choose to live out your life, not and like your behavior and everything. But like we said before, don't be a fucking asshole.
Yeah, you can't just be like a shitty person.
Being a shitty person is something that you have to answer for. But everything else, yes. Your life path, you don't need to explain that to anyone. I'm going to go get lost in the forest. I have decided that I'm no longer going to have to explain that and justify it to people in my life who don't think that that's how I should live my life.
I can't remember where some TikTok creator saw this. Maybe it was on a live or something, but it was like something to the effect of like, don't look at the milestones of the NPCs in your life and compare them to your video game journey.
Nice.
Like, they are on a completely different storyline, a completely different track, and where you guys overlap for whatever amount of time is just like a brief window into everything that they have going on. Mm-hmm. And their milestones will always be different because you're not playing their game and they're not playing yours. Like,
I it like can't that perspective. Be the same.
Right? I was like, oh shit, you're so fucking right.
Damn. Talk to me like I'm a 5-year-old boy, please. It makes everything so much easier.
Oh my God, you're so funny. Listen, y'all. Having your shit together, it's a societal construct. Be you, do you, my friends. Or, as my partner has been saying recently, you do you, we do we. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
For any photos related to today's episode, please go to our Instagram.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at AL2KPodcast.
Like us on Facebook at Always the Last to Know Podcast.
If you have any questions, please email us at AL2KPodcast@gmail.com.
Please share, rate, and review us on your podcast listening app of choice.
Join our Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/AL2KPodcast or click the link in our bio on social media.
Thanks for listening.